tomorrow's news today. Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Friday morning. It is the 29th of May, 2026. We got a big show for you today. I'm going to be joined by two very big guests, Tiffany Cianci and Mary Tally Bowden. She's come out with a new book that Barnes & Noble has decided should be banned. It's one of their banned books, not the banned books that you see in the front of the store in the big display that says banned books with rainbows and it's like To Kill a Mockingbird and the rest of the eighth grade reading list. No, this is a real banned book. It's actually a book that has now been banned. So we're going to talk to her about what's contained in that dangerous tome. And then Tiffany Cianci has some breaking news for us with some action that is required of you if you don't want to see your future sold out to the lowest bidder. Once again, talking about the way that retirement funds, pension funds, and your savings accounts are being managed without your approval or even knowledge in certain cases by private equity firms that are selling out your future to the lowest bidder out there so that they can basically America is being foreclosed on is how you can think of it. Like America, it's like a corporation that has sort of run its race and it's time to shutter it. We're basically being Bain capitaled, right? They're coming in, they're stripping it for parts, and they'll, you know, leave it a disfigured mess at the end of it. It's what they're doing to America and your savings accounts and your future, unless you feel like stopping them. And Tiffany Cianci will be joining us to explain how we can stop them. And we'll do our best to do just that. We've got a lot of videos to go to. I kind of want to go, we just ran out of time, but this is going to be a little bit of an I told you show. Okay, this is a running joke on War Room and was on American Journal that we're the We Told You show. And it's not, again, about just patting ourselves on the back. It's about recognizing that all of this information that people are waking up to now that we're all suddenly realizing together all of a sudden, it's all been available to you for the last several decades. In many cases, like we're going to show a video from 16 years ago of Alex Jones talking about plastic-lined paper cups and estrogen mimickers and all of the things that are now very, you know, hot topics and, you know, fun to talk about with, like, crunchy moms on Instagram. It's all been well-known by us forever. And the reason that we've been able to be so ahead of the curve on things, it's not because we're super special. It's not because we're smarter than everybody else. It's because we are just looking at what the elite are actually saying and what they're actually doing to us and have been reporting it for literally decades. So again, it's not about just like patting ourselves on the back. It's about using the pattern of the past to determine the future and seeing that we have been on the money about all of this stuff because our, you know, foundational premise is correct, that there are forces working in secret to create globalism, which is a system of planetary enslavement. And they're doing it first and foremost by waging chemical and physical war against you by weakening your body and mind in tandem so that you can be taken advantage of in the future. That's the starting premise. Everything else becomes obvious as soon as you accept that reality and accept that you have a obligation to fight back against it. They're not asking you for permission. They're just doing it, and you just have to stop them. It's the Alex Jones Show. Stay with us, folks.
Stay thanks for having me. Before I start, wanted to pitch a couple of the products there for the listeners. The bovine colostrum's been fantastic. My mom had tremendous results, similar to the results your mom had with her hair and skin. Methylene blue, the mental clarity, the focus has been amazing. I just found that I just needed to up the dose a little bit from the recommendation, and then that really hit. So definitely helps to support the broadcast. Alex, the reason you're so successful and the reason so many people chime in is because you have the best guests. That does include Victor Boot, but I will reference the legendary Gerald Celente. What does he say time after time? When there's nothing left, they take us to war.
The bovine colostrum is incredible. The methylene blue, you fund us. You're our funders, not the Israelis or the Muslims or the Russians or the U.S. government. You fund us at thealexjonesstore.com. And the new news site for all the feeds and articles is alexjoneslive.com. And on Rumble, rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShow Live. We'll be right back.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today, although we'll be playing some clips of his as we remind everybody that as long as you have the foundational premise about globalism correct, you can sort of just almost have a superpower. You have a super vision. You have X-ray vision like Superman and can see right through the headlines to what's really going on. And we've been doing this for decades, and the story hasn't changed. It's been the same attack the entire time. I've talked about it before, the famous Alex Jones rant about Magellan and Justin Bieber, and, you know, people point to that because it's, you know, obviously very inspiring. It's a great rant on its own. But people forget that the whole premise of that rant was that they were driving, you know, kids to admire people like Justin Bieber so they could then turn around and use Justin Bieber to push carbon credits on them and go after climate change. This was in like 2012. Nobody was talking about, nobody recognized at that point the threat that climate change truly was beyond just being a silly environmental activist movement. No, it was a global plot to enslave mankind. And we've seen now how that plot has basically been abandoned as they figured out a better way to enslave mankind. That's by building data centers, using AI to surveil you constantly, and using sort of private interventions through corporations to manipulate your behavior, as well as the chemical reaction that your brain has to stimulus. It's very sophisticated, but not that complicated. And we've been harping on about it for the last several decades. It's good to see people wake up to this. But it's frustrating seeing people wake up to the component parts, but not the major structure. It's like we're fighting Megatron, and half the people have woken up to the arms, half the people have woken up to the legs, and we're the only ones that are like, no, it's one gigantic robot. It's actually one gigantic robot. We have to defeat the robot itself. You can't just focus on one part or another. You especially can't be against this arm, be against the right arm, but in favor of the left arm. The whole thing has to be destroyed. And the whole thing is globalism. And it encompasses immigration, the shutdown, the lack of meat, the attack of the ticks. These are all part and parcel with globalist drive to eradicate the humanity they can't control. That's a good way of thinking about it. They want to control you. And if they can't, they'll just kill you. And that's just their worldview. And that's what they're going to do. And they are doing it right in front of everybody. They aren't asking for permission. They aren't giving you a chance to object and have your say. They're just doing it, and you just have to stop them. Again, that's the theme of absolutely everything I feel like Alex has talked about for the last 30 years and more. So we're going to continue that tradition today. But of course, we're going to talk about the major news of the day, big developments in Iran, big developments with Israel, and the continuing fallout of the abuse of the flotilla and the exposure. It's really all coming out, actually, now that I think about it. Say it in order. Today, we've got videos from the flotilla, from members, you know, European, you know, Japanese, New Zealanders, just basically non-Palestinians, non-Muslims, right? That's important to denote because a lot of people seem to think that Israel is at war with Islam, which is one of the main reasons that they support it, because they also think they're at war with Islam. Islam is a branch of Judaism, but we'll get into that later if we have time. We can get into that. But no, they're against everybody that's against them. These are Europeans. These are, you know, people like you and I. And they were subjected to abuse basically equivalent to the Palestinians. Now, when the Israelis do it to the Palestinians, they do it knowing that they can cover up the consequences. They can hide the, you know, exposure of this type of stuff. But they do it to Europeans who they know full well are going to be sent back to their country within days. They don't care that you know. They're kind of daring you to do something about it. And I think we should take them up on that dare. Frankly, personally, that's my position. But we've got that. And then we've got the story that we touched on a little bit yesterday, but we haven't really gotten into the details. But I think I'm seeing a pattern emerge. I think I'm identifying the constellation that all of these individual pinpoints are a part of. After tireless struggle by victims, and finally, a one-hour TV documentary this week, settlements south of Jerusalem admit their leaders have long created child pornography by filming when they gang rape kids in the community no longer in denial. Gush Etzion admits to ritual abuse. And this is just the latest in a very, very long line of events, very, very similar to this in Israel and America and all over the world. It seems to be a bit of a pattern. I think I'm concerned. I'm very concerned about this. I think it needs to be recognized, talked about fearlessly. So that's what we'll do. And I had a bunch of videos that I was going to play yesterday. I never got around to them. And I hate to start the show off like this. Like, there's other stuff going on. But this is one of those things going on. This is one of those things that we have to contend with and we have to pay attention to and see if we can't dig a little deeper and identify what's really behind it. British surgeon who operated on Palestinians in Gaza tells Tucker Carlson how the Israelis would deliberately shoot starving male children in the testicles, shoot vulnerable pregnant women in their stomachs, and let newborn babies die in incubators, leaving their tiny bodies to rot for weeks on end. And this is, again, just the latest. Like, there are so many stories like this. We've seen videos like this. We've reported on it endlessly. You remember it was called the Flower Massacre? As in F-L-O-U-R massacre, because they literally set up food, you know, aid distribution points in Gaza, a population they were deliberately starving. And then when the Gazans rushed in excitement to get the food so they could survive farther, they shot them, you know, like a mousetrap, like they put a piece of food on a trap and then slammed it shut. And it's absolutely brutal and unconscionable, and yet it's being done with American weapons and American approval, and it's being covered up by the American media. It's very pathetic and sad that we've allowed this to happen to ourselves. Let's go to clip 36 here. British surgeon who operated on Palestinians in Gaza tells Tucker Carlson how Israelis would deliberately shoot starving male children. And again, you can call this guy Hamas, but he saw it with his own eyes, and that line is just not working anymore. You sort of spent all of that credit on all of the lies you keep telling. So now we're just going to acknowledge the truth and hopefully one day hold you people to account like you deserve, because you're worse than the Nazis. Let's watch.
I was called to the operating theater by one of my Gazan surgical colleagues, who he had a 12-year-old boy on the operating table, and he'd been shot. It had gone through his aorta. He was dying. He was bleeding. They couldn't stop bleeding. So they asked for my help. I went in there. I couldn't stop it either. By which time, his clotting had all gone wrong. This happens in severe injuries. So he was bleeding out from there, and he died on the operating table under our hands. Awful.
I mean, 12 years old.
12-year-old. And his family told us, had come with him, that he had been sent by... These were all starving. They're all very weak. So the young teenage boys are the ones who are sent out because they're the strongest to get the food. And he'd been shot by an Israeli soldier there.
Why?
And they'd witnessed this. Well, I can't speculate any better than anyone else as to why this is happening. What I can do is I can document what I saw, and I can document what I heard from, and it was a similar story from all the victims' families, from those that survived, from the victims themselves, from Gazan healthcare workers who went to these food sites in order to get food for their families. They all described the same things, how these young teenage boys were being shot by Israeli soldiers. They had noticed in the ER how there were different body parts being targeted on different days at the Gaza humanitarian foundation food distribution points. And other emergency room doctors and nurses I knew corroborated this, that 19 young teenage boys had all come in one day, all of whom had been shot in the head and neck. Nowhere else, just the head and neck. Another day, they came in predominantly with chest injuries. Another day, they came in predominantly with abdominal gunshot wounds. And we noticed this. I started speaking to my fellow surgeons in the operating theatres, and we all noticed this pattern as well. On one day, the Saturday before I left Nasser Hospital to come home to England, four young teenage boys were brought in, all of whom had been shot in the testicles.
Oh,
just
come
the testicles.
Now.
Nowhere else. And we, the pattern of injuries that we all witnessed was so striking that it was clearly beyond coincidental. And it seemed to us like there was a game of target practice.
And these were all children who'd been shot, Palestinians who'd been shot at Gaza Humanitarian Foundation food distribution sites.
Absolutely. And I operate on a lot of them. I also saw victims, young women who had been shot whilst in their tents in Al-Mawasi, quadcopters hovering over the tents, spraying bullets indiscriminately onto the tents. So I had one woman who was 3 months pregnant who came in with a gunshot wound in her abdomen. I operated on. We saved her life. The baby survived as well, but the bullet had missed her pregnant uterus by about 2 or 3 centimetres. We saw many examples of that. I saw them on my first trip in December 2023. We saw in Al-Aqsa, we had victims coming in from quadcopters.
What did you think of all of this?
I could not believe what I was hearing. I didn't believe a lot of it early on, to be honest with you, Saka. I was naive, but I saw so much on all these trips. I saw so much clear evidence of children and women being targeted that I believe all of it. There was an episode about 18 months ago, I think, in Al Nasser Pediatric Hospital in Gaza City, I think about 18 months ago, when the Israeli military invaded the hospital, kicked out all the local staff, and there were 6 neonates left in the incubators when they were kicked out. And they said, you know, there are 6 babies there, and they were assured they'd be fine. The Israeli military left after 2 or 3 weeks, and the doctors, you know, some of whom I knew, went back in there, and those 6 babies were there in the incubators, dead, their bodies rotting.
Oh, come on now.
And there are many other similar stories like that.
And it just goes on and on. And again, you know, this is the fantasy of evil that we were told to oppose for all of our lives. It's the scene out of Schindler's List, right? It's the Nazi commandant just shooting Jews for fun. Now, this didn't actually happen. Like, Schindler's List was, not a true story. It was based on a fictional novel, and this character didn't actually do this. There's no actual, you know, legitimate reports of it. But it is happening on a regular basis with Israel. And it's not just the super evil, you know, commandant that everybody's scared to oppose. It's like the regular soldiers. They do it for fun. They have competitions doing it. It's pretty astonishing seeing, you know, these images that, again, have like traumatized people who've seen the movie. They come out of it like weeping and horrified and, you know, feeling this righteous indignation for the fact that the world allowed this type of evil to go on without seeing it. And then it happens in real life and nobody cares. See, it's crazy. It's truly crazy. They'll get more upset over the fantasy than the reality. They get more upset over the Hollywood fictionalized portrayal of something that didn't happen over the official confirmed reports of things that did. Okay? And it's worse. I think it's worse, right? That woman looked well-fed and an adult. No, he was shooting. I know the Israelis are shooting children who are they've spent the last several years starving to the point of death. And we can continue with this because this surgeon was extremely informative in his conversation with Tucker Carlson from his firsthand point of view. We can go now to clip number 39. Dr. Nick Menard confirms Zionist military systematically executed over 300 civilians and medical staff at Shifa Hospital. Let's watch.
killed. Yeah, I mean, one young plastic surgeon who I knew, who I'd worked with in May 2023 when I was at Shifa Hospital, he was executed. And I think, and I use that word very carefully, he was discovered about a mile from Shifa Hospital with his mother. They were both, had their hands handcuffed behind their backs, and they both had bullet wounds in the brains. So I've had friends who've been bombed. I've had friends
who've
been
shot. And he was a plastic surgeon?
He was a plastic surgeon.
Why was he executed?
Well, when, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what goes on behind this. What I can tell you is that when Shifa Hospital was, Shifa Hospital's been destroyed effectively twice during this war, but when it was invaded initially, maybe 2 years ago, all the staff were displaced, including very, very close friends of mine. And when they were allowed back in, when the Israeli military left after a few weeks, they discovered the dead bodies of 300 civilians in the hospital. Some patients, some staff, many of them handcuffed with their hands behind their back, many of them with bullet wounds on the head, including this friend of mine.
And you can actually see they used the zip ties. And there's photos where they've, you know, uncovered the graves, and you can see the zip ties are different sizes, right? You've got zip ties that are about that big around for the adult men, and then they're a little smaller for the adult women. And they eventually get down to where they're zip ties about that big around, meaning they were handcuffing toddlers and babies, hands behind their back with zip ties, and then shooting them in the head to execute them. Our greatest ally, folks, right? These are, and it's the right to do this that we're fighting for. That's the reason we're going to war with Iran. Israel is never under existential threat. This was never a matter of survival for them. They want to be able to do this stuff with impunity, and that's why they're fighting the war. That's why we're fighting their war. That's why we're losing the First Amendment in this country, because they want to be able to do this and silence you for talking about it. Okay? We can go to one more here. Prominent surgeon Dr. Nick Menard drops a massive bombshell confirming the Zionist regime systematically targets and murders healthcare workers in Gaza. And I bring this one up in particular because they have now exported this strategy, just like they're exporting all the strategies from Gaza, into Lebanon, where they are deliberately and systematically eliminating all of the first responders in Lebanon as quickly as they can as a method to stop people from helping one another, right? What they're trying to do is make people think, I'm not going to be a first responder. I'm not going to go help people. I'm going to get bombed if I do that. They're trying to shatter the Lebanese society this way. They already did it in Gaza. Let's go to clip number 40 here.
Every single hospital has been attacked. I mean, nearly 2,000 healthcare workers have been killed during this conflict, a far greater proportion than any other conflict in living memory. 75 Gazan healthcare workers have been killed per 100,000 capita of population. 75, the equivalent number in Ukraine is 0.8. In all the other conflicts, it's single figures of healthcare workers per 100,000 population. In Gaza, it's 75. So there's been a grossly disproportionate killing of healthcare workers. All the hospitals have been attacked. And I think this is, I mean, I'm going to be talking to you about what I've seen with my own eyes. The disproportionate attack on the healthcare system, I think, has been a deliberate part of the Israeli policy to dismantle the whole infrastructure of living in Gaza.
And again, not just Gaza, they are now doing it in Lebanon, which I remind you was a Christian country majority until the 1980s when the Israeli attacks on Palestine spilled out into the Lebanese civil war, but still has a very sizable contingent of Christians. And I got lots of videos I could go to about what's going on in Lebanon before we do that. So they target healthcare workers, they target hospitals, they execute children. And if you think that this is just the action of like rogue extremists within the IDF and maybe the Israeli army, they don't approve of this stuff and they'll speak out about it, but they just don't have the ability to tamp down on the, you know, exuberance of some of their soldiers. That's not it at all. No, that's not. No, this is a top-down mindset that's inculcated into the troops for Israel. And these tactics are deployed not as a aberration, not as a, you know, something that the whole society comes together to condemn in the case of like the My Lai massacre here in America. That could actually be interesting, comparing the My Lai massacre and like what that was to like what they do in Gaza, and then the comparative response from America holding hearings and this big scandal, whereas in Israel, Like, this is what they do. And again, I'm not just saying this. This is it. All right, let's go to clip number 35 here. This is an Israeli member of the Knesset, I believe, talking to IDF troops ahead of their entry into Gaza. I believe this is the right video. I don't think it's – I think it's labeled wrong, but I think this is their entry into Lebanon. Let's go to clip number 35 here. She says, "Dear heroic warriors, not only do the eyes of the people of Israel look upon you, but also the eyes of generations upon generations who were beaten, humiliated, trampled, and killed without the ability to defend themselves. They dreamed of a day when a nation will arise from the ashes, capable of wielding its weapon and striking. Blessed be the ones who seize your children and smashes them against the rock." So said the Psalms poet, and you're the fortunate ones, you're the blessed. Ah, yes, blessed are the ones who seize their children and smash the infants against the rocks, our greatest ally, folks, the upholders of Western civilization. Remember? Remember how they keep telling us that they're on the front lines of Western civilization against barbarism, and all they have to do is smash some babies' heads on the rocks, and then Western civilization will be saved. All they have to do is systematically murder an entire people group who did nothing wrong and has lived in abject poverty and de facto enslavement for the last 70 years. If we just smash their babies' heads until they're mush, then Western civilization will be saved. You guys, it's so simple. It's so simple. All we have to do in order to save Western civilization is fundamentally betray all of our most strongly held values. I can't believe we didn't think of this before. What defines the West? It's our openness, it's our tolerance, it's our understanding of human relations. It's the Christianity that undergirds the formation, the foundation of our various nations and in people groups. It's what separates us from everybody else. It's what makes the West different than any other group before or since the West rose to prominence. It's exactly these things that Israel is systematically destroying, not only in the world by doing this stuff and then, you know, not suffering any consequences, setting the precedent for this type of genocidal activity being justified and being cheered for. And of course, that's all part and parcel to the plan, because what they want is for people to see Israelis and Jews like smashing babies' heads against the rocks and doing target practice against children and pregnant women for fun, often using, you know, quadcopters to do so. You know, sometimes the quadcopters that they fly around with the machine guns, they play the sound of a crying baby to lure people out, and then they shoot them. And they want you to hear stuff like that and say, wow, these people are so despicable, we should smash their babies' heads against the rocks. We should crush them and humiliate and torture them because they absolutely deserve it. And I'm not saying they don't deserve it. They do. I get that. But you understand that doesn't help anybody. That justifies their actions. That makes retroactively what they did seem justified, because then they get to turn around and go, see, do you see what they do if they get in power? We have to kill their children or else they're going to do horrible things to us. The only way we get out of this cycle of insanity is through love and the selfless love of Jesus Christ in particular, which says that we're going to protect the world from you, and we're not going to do it with hatred. We're not going to do it with vengeance and malice, and we're not going to revel in the pain that we're causing you, but we do have to, for the sake of the innocent people out there, put you down like a rabid dog. And it can be done without hatred, and it can be done without fury and vengeance. It can be done in a very, you know, systematic and ruthless and merciful way. Merciful for the rest of us, merciful for the people that deserve it. But punishment is required here, and without that, this is going to continue forever. And they're setting their eyes on Turkey next. And who do you think comes after that? What do you think happens when Europe is fully conquered by the Muslims? Who do you think is next on the chopping block? It's not that complicated, folks. When Barack Obama's birth certificate came out, and I went to the government website, I downloaded the birth certificate, I put it into Adobe Photoshop, I separated the layers, and I thought, this is crazy. They released a fake birth certificate. I didn't need somebody to tell me that. I didn't read somebody say that and just believe it on trust of them. I did it myself. I saw it with my own eyes. I did it with my own hands. And then I tell my friend, he's like, you know, that's racist, right? I'm like, what? No, I just did it. And they're like, you know, it's like a racist conspiracy theory, right? You're like, what? What is going on? So if you've experienced that, the reason is some people do not have the chemical balance to handle things like that. You need a lot of testosterone to handle things like that. You need to have your mind not warped and distorted by the dopamine feedback loop that social media is designed to create in your brain to enforce you into the pre-established, preordained, approved of mindset. So if you're here, you probably already are winning the chemical war over your own body. But that's why we sell the supplements that we do. Pretty much everybody takes them. Who doesn't take vitamins? Who doesn't supplement in some way or another? Who doesn't add a protein scoop when they get a smoothie at the store or take vitamin D or vitamin C or fish oil, you know, before bed or you know, when you wake up? Isn't a crazy thing. This isn't an out there woo-woo type of thing. Everybody takes supplements. Everybody I know takes supplements. And if you're not, you should be. And so all we do is get the best supplements on the market, white label them. And so you get them from us, you're probably getting a better price than at the store. And you're absolutely getting the best possible quality of all of these products. If you're here for the first time and don't know why you would support us, because you get the information for free, because the streams are free, because there's no obligation for you to support us, that's all part of the strategy. The fact is, we're able to keep this free because you go to thealexjonesstore.com. Put this information into action. You have to understand the attack on humanity itself and then fight back against it in two different ways. One, by advocating and trying to seize power politically to change things from the top down. But while that's going on, you've got to be protecting yourself against this stuff. And we have a lot of supplements and vitamins and minerals and merchandise for you to do exactly that. Things like Atomic Defense, Methylene Blue, Methylene Red. These things are extremely powerful and combat exactly the type of poisons that we talk about on a continual basis. So I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not making claims here. I'm not saying it's going to, you know, cure any diseases or anything. But I'm saying that in the modern world, it's microplastics and you know, atrazine and herbicides and growth hormones and fluoride that they put in the water on purpose because they want you dumb. You have to combat these things. You have to be protecting yourself and building up your internal shield so you can even handle the information that we're bringing to you. And that really is a thing. Testosterone, the higher your testosterone is, the more likely you are to go against the grain, to reject the herd mentality of the crowd and instead pursue justice or pursue the truth, regardless of who says anything about it. And there's a chemical balance that has to be achieved there. But that's why there's such an attempt to lower your IQ, lower your testosterone, lower your masculinity, lower your self-sufficiency, lower your self-confidence. Because they want you a tired, weak, overwhelmed, overworked slave. That's what the people in power have designed this world to do to you. And you don't have to take it. You can fight back. You can protect yourself. You can reverse the effects of the damage that's done to your body as it is to all of our bodies by going to the Alex Jones store and getting a product.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Go big or go home. That's my stat. That's my strategy. That's my statement. This is what I want my failures to look like. Folks, you don't want your failures to go down with a whimper. You want your failures to be felt 5 miles away. You want your failures to disrupt the dinner people are having in Boca Raton because they're wondering why their water glass is shaking all of a sudden. We want our failures to be commensurate with our victories, to be of the same size and scale of the victories that we win. It's the classic quote, the man in the arena quote. It's better to dare glorious triumphs and risk a devastating defeat than to live in that gray nothingness in the middle, achieving nothing. So I love Blue Origin. I love that they exploded. I think it's great. I think it's awesome. When are we going to get a explosion like this that isn't killing a bunch of people? Just a bunch of Jeff Bezos's toys. Jeff Bezos's toys blew up, and I'm here for it. That was the explosion of the Blue Origin new Glenn rocket exploding in Cape Canaveral during test. That's called job creation, folks. That's all going to have to be rebuilt now. That's called GDP. That's called money going up, folks. When we see that rocket explode, we see dollar signs. All right? It's about exploitation to the maximum degree. Several different camera angles of the new Glenn rocket explosion at Cape Canaveral's Launch Complex 36 are being shared on social media. The U.S. Space Force confirmed the rocket exploded at 9 p.m., and Blue Origin founder Jeff Bezos confirmed, saying all personnel are accounted for and safe. It's too early to know the root cause, but we're already working to find it. I think it was the fire in the explosion. I think that's what may have caused it. I'm glad everybody's okay. I don't know what Elon Musk does right, but boy, it goes wrong when other people try it. All I'm saying is it's a dream of mine. I'm very much looking forward to go watch some rocket launches, perhaps from the Starbase here in Texas. And if I went to a rocket launch and instead got to see a rocket explosion, I think I'd be happy. I think I would have liked it more. But that's just me. I feel like that's just my attitude now. I don't know. Anybody else feeling this way? It's like I'm just ready for it all to go down. I'm ready for it's just like everything sucks. Everything is retarded. Everything is stupid. I can't wait for it all to explode. I wish it would. We could restart then. I'm not an accelerationist because I've seen how that's gone in other places throughout history, like Rhodesia or South Africa or the UK, for that matter, or downtown Austin, if you really want to get specific. So I don't think, you know, encouraging the collapse actually brings about a revolution. But if it could all go up in flames like a giant fireball, maybe it'll work. It's crazy enough, just my work, folks. Some people are preparing for it. Peter Thiel is apparently decamping to the end of the world. That's the story that's got a lot of people asking questions. Mr. Thiel, who, according to one of the participants in a tournament, basically Peter Thiel moved his whole family to Argentina. Over the past 2 months, Mr. Thiel has met with the country's president, Javier Milei, and his ministers, purchased a mansion in one of Buenos Aires's most exclusive neighborhoods, and hosted a dinner with local economists where he discussed the Antichrist, one of his favorite conversation topics, according to Argentine officials and people familiar with Mr. Thiel's activities. I'm telling you, it is true. And like, I've explained this before, but, you know, there have been occasions in my life where I've gotten to, you know, hang out with billionaires. They talk about stuff like the Antichrist. They aren't up there, you know, talking about the latest political scandal. Billionaires get together and they go, so have you heard about, you know, that 25-year-old kid in California that's injecting himself with a serum that'll keep him 25 forever? This is a literal quote from a billionaire to another billionaire that I heard with my own ears. And they're talking about a 25-year-old who thinks he's going to be 25 forever. In fact, I think he's already been 25 for a couple years. Again, they age reversal, you know, parallel economies, parallel civilizations. The Antichrist. This is what billionaires actually talk about. It's why they don't like us, because we talk about this stuff. They want you focus on whatever the latest little scandal is, whatever the latest rumor mongering is, the latest resignation. That doesn't matter to the billionaires. They're above that. They're on a plane of, you know, interdimensionality and, you know, off-world entities and, you know, civilizational collapse. Like, that's what they talk about. That's what we talk about. That's why they don't like us. They want to be the ones talking about this stuff. They don't want the hoi polloi, the plebeians talking about what they're doing. Oh, yeah, this story's from today. I didn't even grab it. Can y'all print this one out for me? Inside Putin's $26 billion quest for longevity, from mini pigs and organ printing to cryotherapy and genetics, Russia's president has turned anti-aging research into a Kremlin priority. Folks, just like AI, just like weapon systems, just like every form of technology, this is no different. What we have access to, what we have knowledge of, is probably 10 to 20 years behind what they actually have. If right now they're saying that they have successfully reversed aging on mice, what do you think they're doing in the secret human trials in places like Russia, in the wastes of Siberia? You don't think they're doing some experiments that the rest of the world doesn't know about? So, like, this is one of the things you have to understand. When they talk about scientific discovery, scientific revelations, understand that these revelations were made a long time ago. The revelation now is about selling it to you. It's about getting humanity up to speed with where they are already and bringing us along in a way that we confirm and affirm what they're already doing. So just so you're aware. So yeah, that's what they actually talk about. And this, the idea that Peter Thiel is moving to Argentina is not exactly surprising. As we know, Israel is setting up a mini state in Argentina, coincidentally, right after gigantic forest fires burn the most sought after parts of that country. And Javier Milei signs a law to allow those lands to be purchased, and they're being purchased by Israelis at a rapid rate. They're setting up a little satellite Israel in Argentina. There's already one in Russia. There's a oblast that is independent and sort of a second Israel. And they're doing the same thing with what they call quote unquote heavenly Jerusalem in Ukraine. And they're also buying up lots of islands around Greece to serve as, they're colonizing the world in a phrase. And Argentina seems to be, oh, this just broke. Trump lifts the U.S. naval blockade on the Strait of Hormuz, says Iran needs to open the strait to allow for Iran's stockpile of enriched uranium to be unearthed by the U.S., adding he's meeting in the Situation Room to make a final determination. All right. Is that true? I doubt it. But what can we glean from it? This is the way we approach this. Is what he said reflective of reality at all? Maybe. But what can we learn from it? For one thing, clearly, Israel has Trump by the balls, and they're not letting him solve things with Iran. If that wasn't the case, then we would have basically been at peace now, because we had a peace agreement. We had basically signed on to it. Israel decided otherwise, and then we backed down. Okay, so that's one thing we know. So we know that Trump is probably pretty frustrated at this. Seems like he wants to end it, but doesn't want to lose face and isn't being allowed to end it by Israel. And it seems like, once again, he's changing the demands that he's making, and Iran is just ignoring him, more or less. Ships caught in the strait due to our amazing and unprecedented naval blockade, which will now be lifted, may start the process of heading home. Say hello to your wives, husbands, parents, and families from me, your favorite president. Okay. This is so dang. What are you talking about? That's crazy. So he's like, he's got a blockade that apparently is keeping people from their families. Apparently he's sort of holding them hostage. He's like, I'm releasing the hostages. Go tell your families hello for me. What? That's like a crazy Godfather move. That's wild. We're releasing you to go home. Have fun. Say hi to your wife for me. Okay. Thanks, kidnapper. Weird. Okay, so let's talk about the Iran war, shall we? Because I don't believe it. I don't think that what Trump just tweeted out has anything to do with what's actually happening. Let's go to clip number 5 here. This is Colonel McGregor confirming that Israel has total veto authority over everything Trump wants to do. And this is the case in just about every Western country where they've wormed their way into the highest halls of power. Let's go to Colonel McGregor now.
Number one, Israel. Israel has veto authority over anything that President Trump decides to do. He is not in charge. He is responding to Netanyahu. The demands he sets forth in front of the Iranians and says, these are the things you must do. They're not our demands. Those are Israeli demands. So somehow or another, how do you break the hold that Netanyahu has on President Trump and the United States government? Nobody in Congress is going to stand up and jeopardize their income if they oppose the Israel lobby and effectively say no to Mr. Netanyahu. So that's problem number one. Problem number two is President Trump and his personality and his fear of being castigated and humiliated for having done this stupid thing. And attacking Iran was a very dumb idea. Anybody with any sense knew that. And there's nothing that justifies the total mobilization for war that it would require for us to take control of Iran.
But that may be what we're doing. But here's another clip of Colonel McGregor. And again, we're going to tie all this together. But it's just obvious to anybody that's paying attention. It's just nice seeing people saying it. Let's go now to clip number six. Colonel McGregor reveals that Trump secretly sold 18 million barrels of oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to Asian countries below market price. This relates to what he just said, in that Donald Trump is causing the economic crisis that's causing Americans pain. And in order to sort of not suffer the consequences of that, he's selling our strategic reserve to Asia. Let's go to clip number six.
The president has also dipped into the SPR, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Remember when Biden did this, and this was during COVID, and Trump spoke out and raged against it, saying this was irresponsible and so forth? Well, I found out yesterday that he sold something in the neighborhood of 17.8 million barrels of oil within the last week as an effort to suppress the prices of oil, to keep it below $110 per barrel. Well, the problem with this is, at this rate, our strategic petroleum reserve will probably be exhausted by the end of July, beginning of August, especially since he's also sold below market price unknown quantities of oil to some of our Asian friends. Now, doubtlessly, this was done because, after all, he never bothered to ask them what they thought about his dumb idea of attacking Iran. And this has tried to ease the damage. But this is not a long-term solution. This is all short-term thinking. What happens when...
All short-term thinking. I mean, it's not even short-term. I mean, you remember when they tried to push short-term pain for long-term gain? Remember when that was briefly invoked as a slogan for supporting the Iran war? There's no short-term gain. There's no long-term gain. It's all just loss. It's just loss upon loss. And it's unaffordable. Like, we can't sustain this. We really might not recover from what we've already done. Iran war drives multi-year missile defense gap. The war in Iran has exacerbated a shortage of missile defense weaponry that is likely to plague the U.S. and its partners from Ukraine to Taiwan for years to come. The conflict is draining weapons stockpiles far faster than American factories can replace them, leaving the Pentagon and allies scrambling to ramp up production and find cheaper alternatives. Zelensky wrote to Trump to urgently request interceptors to knock down expected Russian missile barrages, but Iran has taken top priority, and a new analysis suggests it will take years to replace the munitions expended in war. So they used so many interceptors in just the few weeks of the war so far in Iran that defense systems like the Patriot and THAAD in the Middle East stockpiles will not be replenished until 2029. That's assuming that the war does not resume and even takes into consideration President Trump's massive $1.5 trillion defense budget proposal. So, again, just bankrupting us, making us less safe, and pushing us ever towards the specter of boots on the ground, which they apparently are ready to do and willing to commit to. We can go to clip number 20 here. This is Secretary of War Pete Hegseth saying that if Iran does not agree to take the $300 billion or whatever Trump is offering for a deal, then they're going to put boots on the ground. So here's him telling soldiers to get ready to go die for Israel. Let's watch.
And when you do your job, the adversaries know what's coming for them. And that's when they either step up and meet the fury of the American military or back down, and you create a whole bunch of options for America and the president with what he wants to execute on behalf of the American people. So right now, hey, Iran has a choice. Meet at the table with the president and give up their nuclear program. And as the president said, I'm lost on time, 2 days ago now, in the cabinet meeting, I'm sitting right next to him. He looks in the camera and says, well, Iran can either do it the right way with a deal across the table, or they can deal with my guy on the left. That happened to be me. But it's not me. It's you guys. It's what you're ready to do. It's what the...
Yeah. Uh-huh. Totally. Woo. Woo. Let's go die for Israel, so Israel can keep killing people with impunity. That's what this is all about. Let's not forget, Israel would not be destroyed if we didn't go to war with Iran. They would just have to stop killing Lebanese people for a little while. And they don't want to do that. They don't want to stop, though. So I guess we have to send boots on the ground and get into, you know, the quagmire this was always designed to be. It's great. It's great. It's great. So again, just acting like we have, and you know, the pathetic thing about all of it is Iran, every time we threaten something like boots on the ground, they're like, oh no, please don't. No, stop, don't. Boots on the ground here in Iran? Oh, whatever would we do? They're like so excited for so far it's been kind of hard for them to, you know, wage this war. You know, there's too many things to blow up. They're like having to, you know, design their drones going out. What they want is just American boots on the ground so they can just slaughter them en masse, because that's exactly what would happen. So, yeah, I don't think they're that worried about all that. And why would they be when this is what our freaking defense department looks like? Let's go to clip number 25 here. As Donald Trump has just greenlit the largest military pay raise in modern history, backed by $1.5 trillion defense bill that overhauls barracks and military infrastructure and is totally unnecessary and could probably really be useful if we spend. I mean, can you imagine $1.5 trillion being spent on things like deportation or infrastructure here in America? Could you imagine the quality of life that we could have if we spent even a fraction of this money on ourselves instead of endlessly killing ourselves for Israel and being scammed out of existence by all various foreigners that are ripping us apart piecemeal? Wouldn't that be something? $1.5 trillion. Again, Donald Trump, the budget guy, the business guy, the deal-making guy, has basically resorted to, I need $1.5 trillion so I can send soldiers to be killed in Iran because they aren't capitulating to my demands. Okay, so you're not actually that good at making deals, not actually that good at wielding the military effectively, not actually budget conscious, not actually America first. So it was all a lie, I guess. I guess it's all been proven a lie. Let's go to clip number 25 here.
The United States has the greatest military the world has ever
known.
What
is this?
But not just because we have the best jets, the best ships, and the best weapon system, but because our greatest asset is the American warfighter. For too long, Washington has not done enough for the Americans who make our military the most lethal fighting force in history. Under President Trump, that changes right now. This budget is about our people. Because let's be honest about the reality on the ground. We ask our troops to leave their families, to deploy and train in the most complex threat environments since World War II. But when they return to duty, they're met with outdated facilities, substandard barracks, and too often, straight up hazardous living conditions. On top of that, before this administration, we had young enlisted families relying on food pantries just to get by. This is, of course, completely unacceptable for the greatest fighting force in the world. Our troops should never be and will never be on food stamps. With this president in charge, no more. Things are changing fast. As part of our generational $1.5 trillion budget, we're making an aggressive, historic investment in military infrastructure by spending $90 billion on revitalized barracks and facilities. And that money will get rid of all substandard and failing barracks. But housing, it's only half the battle. This budget includes the largest pay raise for our troops in modern history, up to 7% for junior enlisted and pay raises for everyone in the force. We're also investing over $35 billion into the support systems that our military families rely on every single day. This budget fully funds military health care, finally making TRICARE more desirable than Medicare. We're investing in childcare and youth programs, upgraded commissaries, and better military schools. And that's why this budget also provides record funding for the PCS task force and spousal employment programs to ensure a smoother moving process the way it should be. Taking care of our troops isn't about just doing the right thing. It's about military readiness. When our warfighters
know that
their
families... take down the boomer slop. We can take down the AI-generated, poorly green-screened boomer slop now. Thank you. Here's the problem with, you know, the love and generosity that they're showing to the troops. You know, they're like, we're dedicating to, you know, $7 billion to actually giving them health care. Hey, what a novel concept. Of course, you know, the VAs are still going to die waiting in parking lots without receiving service. They're still going to be killing themselves at a rate of several a day for the foreseeable future. And all of that money that they're talking about to rebuild the barracks and whatever else would pay for about one day of the Iran war so far. So far, the Iran war has cost about $11.3 billion a day. So I think we could have spent that money a little bit better, I think. I think we could have not raised the military budget to $1.5 trillion, not gone to war with Iran, and not have to be struggling to do any of this if we'd made better choices. So sorry if I'm not super excited at the green screen middle school level animation talking about how great our warfighters are when you are sending them to die for Israel. Yeah, $95 billion based on the Pentagon's briefing to Congress, $11.3 billion for the first 6 days, plus $1 billion a day ongoing, $95 billion so far for the 90 days. So I don't think we're spending our money very well. You know, it's like telling your kids, like, hey, guys, I'm not going to make you eat rice and beans for every meal anymore. I'm going to get bacon. I'm going to get steak, and once a week, you guys are going to get protein, and guess what? I'm going to fix the hole in the roof over your bed so it won't rain on you at night. Anyway, I got to go, and then I hop in a $400,000 Lamborghini and drive away. That's basically what we're dealing with here. It's like, you know, this wouldn't be an issue if you didn't prioritize yourself first and foremost already. Like, this shouldn't even be an issue. We're not going to celebrate you fixing the problem that you people started and caused in the first place. And when we get back on the other side, I'm going to show you a couple videos from Candace Owens breaking some bombshell stories. And then I'll show you us breaking those same stories 8 months ago. Little We Told You show break. And then I'll be joined by Mary Tally Bowden. She, of course, is a doctor that pioneered effective treatments during COVID and got a profile for standing up against her hospital's attempts to use COVID to hurt people. Now she has a book that is banned by Barnes & Noble. Very excited to talk to her. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com to support us. It is the final week for you to enter to win both the custom H1 Hummer and the 2026 Dodge Charger, plus $20,000 in cash. For every $1 you spend, you get 100 time entries to win both of these cars. There's always a car giveaway, but there's 1 week a month where you can enter to win both cars, so you're doubling your chances to win. Plus, you're getting free $10 on every order. Add that to the $10 you get as a VIP member. You're looking at practically free products at thealexjonesstore.com. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/VIP and sign up today.
Tonight at midnight, Alex Jones was thrown out and locked out of his InfoWars studio along with his crew after the 8-year-long legal battle trying to shut him down and censor him is coming to a close. And liberal media are celebrating with headlines like this. The lights go out at Alex Jones InfoWars, and InfoWars.com, the domain name, now has a message that just says off air. But these people don't know anything about Alex Jones, because if you just go to alexjoneslive.com, the website looks very similar to the old InfoWars website. And look at there! There is a live feed of his show, the Alex Jones Show, now just not using the InfoWars name, where he is continuing. It hasn't missed a beat! If you go to the Apple App Store and the Android App Store and search for AJN Live, you can download the new Alex Jones Live app, where you can still listen to his show streamed live on your phone. Or you can just find and follow Alex Jones on Twitter, X, where he still has 4.5 million followers, because despite the lawyer's attempts to try to take his personal account, they failed. And you can see there the live icon around his profile photo shows that he is live streaming the show there on repeat 24/7.
There is a war raging for the future of humanity. We have opened a new front at alexjoneslive.com. They thought they could silence us. They thought they could drive us off the air. They failed. We are back, stronger, louder, unbroken. Find the feeds. Hear the broadcast. Share the signal. AlexJonesLive.com. The coordinates of freedom.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.